Father, we love you, and as always, we come together for fellowship around the Word of God, and we declare that the entrance of your Word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Receive that light, let it shine in our hearts today, in the name of Jesus. Amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. Today, I want to speak on favor magnets and the King's favor everywhere. That's right. And what comes to mind when you hear or see this topic? Well, you think about it for a moment. But I've got something that to share, and I'm going to get to it right away. The favor of the King, we'll be talking about that. Also going to be talking about favor magnets. Well, okay, so what is favor and what is a magnet? Now we're going to talk about that. And what does the King's favor mean? And we're going to look at some examples in the scriptures. Some people that you couldn't shake the favor of God from them no matter what. You know. And then some people also that obtained the favor of the King in a mighty way. We've heard these stories before, but I want to bring it together today, you know, for a reason. You know, so let's talk about favor in general. You know, what does favor mean? When you think of favor, you know, what does it mean to you? It could be, even according to the dictionary, it could be a helpful or generous deed that is done for someone. You know, it could, you know, as a noun or a verb, it could be to support, to choose, or to like an option over others. And it generally could refer to an act of kindness, preference, approval, you know, and there are many meanings that we can find for in everyday life. Favor, though, you know, from the perspective of the Bible, it's a little bit different and goes a little bit deeper, you know. So in the Bible, the favor that we really care about is divine approval, some gracious kindness from the Lord, and a preferential treatment. Now, when that comes from God, that can be so powerful, especially divine approval and divine blessings, you know, that God can put, you know, upon a person. You know, we're talking about a relational blessing. And God is looking upon someone with goodwill and, you know, just blesses them beyond what you would ordinarily expect. And despite different attempts to block their way, despite the so-called would-be destiny destroyers rising up in their lives, nevertheless, the favor of God is so strong that they always end up coming out on top nonetheless. You know, so we're going to be talking about that. We'll be talking about the King's favor also, putting all together. And in that regard, I actually want to start from, you know, what a king is and what his kingdom might mean. We talked about these things before, but just to put it all together. without going into too deep a lesson about God as King and His kingdom, let me just state that a king without a kingdom is not a king. You know, and a kingdom without a king is not a kingdom. So, you know, the word kingdom, you can, you know, think of it as a king's domain. And you put it all together, you get kingdom from that. So the king as a territory over which he exerts his influence. That's what a kingdom is. If you grew up in a democracy or republic or this and that, you may not know what that really means. But, you know, in the olden days and also things we see in the scriptures, stories that we read, they have those kingdoms, the king. The king's word is all in all. That's it. You may have counselors and things like that, you know, but there's no Congress to debate his will. Whatever he says goes, and that's it. You know, so now, you know, we know that Christ is to be king over all the earth. Hallelujah. In the book of Revelation Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9, we read that Christ will be king over the earth. It's nothing anybody can do about it. The Lord, and we know that's Christ. The Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one, not three. But there will be one Lord and his name one. And in that day he will be king over all the earth. Well, he was king to start with, it was his kingdom. And yeah, he gave it to the sons of men to have dominion over it. Gave the earth, you know, which was an extension of his kingdom. Basically, think of it as a colonization. Yeah. God had his kingdom. He had the attributes of being a king. So that means must have a kingdom. Remember, king without a kingdom is not a king at all. So being that he had the attributes of being a king within himself, he had to have a kingdom. Now, being that he had the attributes of being God, you know, he had to have worship. Being that he had the attributes of being savior within himself, you know, he had to have somewhat to say. He had the attribute of being father. That he had to have children, you know, so on and on and on, you know. God did not develop any new attributes. He already had all these attributes within himself. The expression of his attributes are what we see, you know. And we see the sons of God maturing and coming into a position. It's an expression of God's attributes, really. It's not just the sons of God doing anything by themselves. It's what God already had in mind. And now, coming into that expression of his attribute, you know, when we are able to take charge and have dominion, well, it's an expression of God's attribute, because he himself rules, you know, he rules. So, you know, it says, you know, thine is a kingdom, O Lord, and the power and the glory, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine, and thou art exalted above all. You know, both riches and honor come from thee, and thou reignest over all. And thy hand is power and might, and thy hand it is to make great, and to give strength unto all. That's a powerful, you know, powerful prayer that we read in the scriptures. You know, acknowledging the greatness of God. And Jesus also always saying, look, when you pray, say thy kingdom come, you know. What already was there, let it come. David prayed a powerful prayer before the congregation in 1 Chronicles 29. Recognized that the kingdom belongs to the Lord. Greatness, the power, and everything. So thine, you know, all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine, and thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 and so on. You know, so we establish the fact that, you know, God is king, you know. In Isaiah chapter 43, the Lord also introduced himself again as king, you know. He had always wanted to be their king. At one time they rejected him. We covered that last week, you know, but he says in Isaiah 43 and verse 15, I am the Lord, your holy one. Again, that's one, not three. The creator of Israel, your king. That's it right there. And you know, one day in the mind of the Lord, he'll put it all together, you know, under Christ. In Revelation 11 and verse 15, we read that when the seventh angel sounded, we heard that there were voices and different things out of heaven. Now, there's a lot of things that led to that. I can't get into that today. But it does say and revealed that the kingdoms of this world, all of them, glory to God. So the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he, and one person, shall reign forever and ever. So we've established God's kingdom from the beginning and even clear on through the end. Daniel also, he foresaw some powerful things. The dream of Nebuchadnezzar, which Nebuchadnezzar, it was so terrible in his mind, he couldn't even remember, he forgot, and was going to kill everybody if they didn't tell him. Not only give him the interpretation, but even tell him what the dream was. Daniel and his friends prayed. The Lord showed it to Daniel all over again. Daniel came and explained it to the king and said, look, this is the dream. It is sure. Interpretation of it also is certain. And, he told the king, and as he described it, here's what he said in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings, now every one of those kings represented kingdoms, you know, whether it was Babylonian, whether it was Medo-Persian, whether it was Grecian, whether it was Roman, whatever, they all represented kingdoms. Ah, they say, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And that kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these other kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. So, we see what the kingdom of God is going to do to all these other kingdoms of the world eventually, and all of them will bow and they become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And in that day the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and his name shall be one. Praise the Lord. People will figure that out finally. Everyone who has tried to slice God into three pieces, it's not going to work. There is one God, huh? And his name shall be one. Praise the Lord. Now, I established that as, you know, the concept of kingdom, and there is also the concept of the king. Now, in the king's kingdom, there is something about the king and his citizens, right? The reputation of the king is measured by the state of the kingdom citizens. If the kingdom citizens, you know, are all haggard looking, nothing happening for them, they are all miserable and poor, and they look like, you know, people who have, I mean, they wear rags and things like that and look at people who haven't eaten for a long time and starved to death, and you say these are your citizens, well, that's how, you know, we look at the value that our kingdom has brought into people's lives. You know, that's a wretched kingdom if all his citizens are wretched. You know, so the reputation, it is in the interest of the king, you know, to, you know, make sure his citizens look good because they reflect on him. Now, if we are citizens of the kingdom of God, well, think of this. It is in God's best interest that you look good. You know, because if you don't look good, and we are representing him, people are looking at him, say, look at his citizens, the citizens of his kingdom, how wretched and miserable they are. Now, what kind of thing would that speak for the king? You know, so, you know, that's something that we must remember. And so when we are in distress or whatever, also, it'll be wise for us to remember that. And you can put pressure back on the king. Put the pressure back on the king. Make it all about his reputation. Remember the story of Hezekiah when Rabshakeh and Sennacherib came to chide the living God and say, well, you better surrender to us. Otherwise, we're going to destroy everything. Just like we destroyed all the other nations and cast their gods into the fire. Of course, the prayer of Hezekiah was, Lord, indeed. Yeah. They have cast all the gods of the nations into fire because they were no gods, but they were the work of men's hands. But you are their very God that dwelleth between their cherubims. And he prayed this powerful prayer. He said, now, Lord, save us from their hand so that all the people of the world may know that thou art their God, the very God. So he made it about God's reputation. You know, and when you make it like that about God's reputation, that's so powerful. He's going to stand up and defend his own name. You know, it wasn't save us from his hands, Lord, that our city be not destroyed, or save us from his hand that our wives be not become widows, that our children not become fatherless. You know, all those things are there too, but no, he said, save us from his hand so that all the people of the world may know that thou art their God, thou very God. Yeah. So you make it like that about his reputation. You put him, you know, like that, put pressure on him. Then he's going to stand up and fight for his own name and his own reputation. That's what people need to learn. Whatever situation you are faced, make it about God protecting his own reputation. That's it. I say, look, I am called by your name and I have stood and professed your name before these people. And they know that I am yours, Lord. Therefore, glorify thyself. And God will say, well, I have glorified it and I will both glorify it again. He said, now let these people know that you are the God that answered prayer and I am yours. You say, put it like that. God will stand up and he will do something. In the case of Hezekiah, he sent one angel, go take care of business. The angel came in there. 185,000 of their enemies were slain in one night. They were all dead corpses in the morning. Oh, that's God, the king, you know, protecting his reputation. He said even concerning the days of Pharaoh and all the hardening of his heart and so forth, said that I might get me renown. Huh? That's right. A king wants to get renown over, you know, those things so that all the people around will know. And when they hear the God of Israel, my goodness, they'll be afraid. God getting a renown. The nations that were afraid of Israel at that time, they were not afraid of Israel. They were afraid of the God of Israel. The king of Israel, you know. So, all right. So we've established that. Now, his reputation, you know, is measured. I mean, the greatness of the kingdom or otherwise measured, you know, by the state of the kingdom citizens. And also the word of the king, God's word is his bond, and his name, the name and the banner of his name over his people, that's his reputation. We bear his name, he's duty bound to protect that for his own glory. Now, when we refuse to follow his ways though, when we declare independence, when a colony declares independence against the ruling kingdom, well, the ruling kingdom can't do anything else for them again. So that's sin, is the declaration of independence from God. You know, it's a rebellion against God's rulership. God said, do it this way. He said, no, I'm going to do what I want. Well, then God can't help you. You're on your own then. You know, so in his kingdom, God is king. He says, and we do. End of story. There's no argument about it. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You know, so we've established all of that. Now, the less you depend on God, the more you have to fend for yourself. And sin is the, you know, opening of the less dependence on God. It's like, look, I'm going to do things my own way. Okay, fine. Then you are on your own. But if you walk in the integrity of your heart before the Lord, then he's duty bound, protect his name that's upon you. So we talked about the king. Let's talk about, you know, the king's favor as well. It'll be part of this lesson, king's favor. The king can put his favor on anybody and that'll be so. It'll be whatever he said and that'll be so. But I'll come to that. Now, I want to talk about this other part, favor magnets. Favor magnet, you know how a magnet works, right? You know, a magnet has the property, you know, of being able to just draw to itself, you know, things, especially things that can be magnetized, like they have metallic properties in them. It can be magnetized, you know. So a magnet produces what's called a, you know, as a magnetic field around it, which has the ability to attract certain metals, iron, you know, and different things, steel and so on, and pull that together. It's a magnet, and every one of us seen magnets in everyday life. We even, people sometimes even make rubber magnets, and people stick those on your refrigerator. Women will put a rubber magnet, has a little inscription on it, on their refrigerator and so forth. But generally, we know of these magnets. We've been playing with them since we were kids. Once you learn it and you're intrigued by it, the magnet can pull something to itself. Now, the, in terms of favor magnets, we're talking about someone that is always attracting favor. God's favor in particular, and sometimes even men's favor, if God, you know, decreed it like that, you know. And when God has favor for someone, God will make, can make even others to favor them, you know. So a decree of the holy watchers and demand of the holy ones, you know, God can, you know, put his favor upon somebody, and whatever, wherever they go and whatever they do, always in favor, or favor is pursuing them. Praise the Lord. Let's read Psalm 44, starting at verse 3. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. So all the things that the Lord did, driving out enemies before them and so forth, wasn't because of their own. I mean, not because they were the greatest, but they were the smallest, Moses said. But it was God's favor, you know, that was working for them, commanding deliverances for them. And everywhere they went, God was favoring them. Now, let me talk to you about a few stories here and there of some people that had tremendous favor in their lives that we saw in the scriptures. I mean, they were just ordinary people like us, you know, but they had favor. Favor was upon them. And it didn't matter what any situation they found themselves in, they were still favored. And no matter what anybody tried to do, they were still favored. Now, the purpose of this lesson, as a reminder, which you already know these things, is because at the end, I am going to declare and decree the favor of God upon you. Glory to God. And the king's favor upon you everywhere you go in his kingdom. That's right. So, let's consider a few stories. There are many stories in the Bible, and I've told many of them on this platform from time to time. Now, one such story that comes to mind immediately is Joseph. You know his story. Scriptures cover his story. Many chapters in Genesis cover the story of Joseph. We're not going to tell all the story, but just bring out highlights. You know that the favor of God was upon him. Even his father favored him. Favor of God was upon him. There was nothing the would-be, and I call them would-be, destiny destroyers could do. And when the favor of God is upon you like that, God will turn the would-be destiny destroyers into unwilling destiny helpers. That's what we found out in the story of Joseph. Those who would destroy his destiny, that's what they wanted to do. They did not know that they became puppets in God's hands. They would actually become unwilling helpers for Joseph. Everything that every evil plan that his brothers tried to do unto him out of, you know, envy and stuff, propelled Joseph closer and closer to, you know, his destiny of being, he was destined, prescribed by God to be greater than his brethren, and that they will bow to him no matter what. And they thought, we will destroy that plan. We'll see what will become of your dreams now. Throw you into the pit, sell you into slavery, tell your father that you are killed. Father will forget all about you and all of that. But all those things that they did, that favor, you could not shake the favor of God upon Joseph. You couldn't shake it. Didn't matter whatever happened to him, favor was a favor magnet everywhere he went. Carried him into slavery many, many hundreds, I don't even know, of miles, perhaps thousands away from his father. He got in there immediately at favor in the house of Potiphar. Potiphar put him in charge of everything, even above those who were there before him. That's favor of God. When Potiphar's wife, the seductress, tried to seduce him and he stood his ground and would not do it, you know, she framed him for this crime he did not commit. Threw him into prison. Well, the favor of God followed him to that prison. As soon as he got into the prison, the warden put him in charge of the prisoners. Why? He was not the first person there. He's not the only person there. How would you put him in charge? The favor of God was just upon him like that. It was a favor magnet. Didn't matter whether conditions around him were pleasant or unsavory. didn't matter. He was, you know, favor, just attracted favor. And it was that favor that gave him access, because now he could go around to every prison cell, and he was in charge. He walked around, looked around, you know, see how things were, reported to the warden. And in his rounds, he met this baker and butler, you know, and on and on and on, you know. So the favor of God was upon him. Didn't matter what situation he found himself in. And this same favor would fetch him one day out of prison. You know, 2 years even later, after the butler had been restored and he forgot about Joseph, Joseph had appealed to him, just say a good word for, you know, for me. I'm here for a reason, you know, as a crime that I did not commit. Just speak a good word in the king's ears when you're putting that cup back in his hand and he's merry. Just say a good word for me. The man said nothing. 2 years. And then one day, when Pharaoh needed it the most, because there was something, see, that was favor of God also arranging that. The favor of God upon your life can arrange, God will orchestrate. We call him the master orchestrator like that. He can orchestrate things to your advantage. He orchestrated it, you know, to his advantage, that nobody, Pharaoh dreamed a dream that nobody else could interpret. Meanwhile, you know, God sent this butler back. See, both of them could have been killed by Pharaoh. One was killed. God only needed one. So the one that had the most access, the baker would not have had access like that. The butler had access because he's there who put the cup of wine into the king's hand to cheer him up, and he's there listening to everything. So God put that man right there. And then he was the one that said, when he heard the king saying the things that he was saying and nobody else could do it, butler now said, Lord, I said, oh Lord, my king, my Lord, I remember my fault this day. I was a young man I met in prison when you were angry with me and the baker and cast him into prison. And he one day said this and that, our dreams and so, whatever he said, came to pass. Let my king call this man now, and he will tell the king the interpretation of the dream. I said, okay. So God already orchestrated all of that, that this butler would have a story to tell before the king in order to bring Joseph before the king. And Joseph had to go to prison to do that. And, you know, he had to meet these people to do that. It was favor even in the prison that caused him to meet these people. If he wasn't in charge, he would not have been going around and getting an opportunity to talk to everybody. You know, there was also something in Joseph's heart too. Let me just throw that in. There was some grace in his heart that also, you know, walked with that, because he was sensitive. You know, he'd been seeing these people and they were cheerful. And one day he saw that their countenances were falling. So why look you so sadly today? And they began to tell him. So that also led to it. You know, now he stands before Pharaoh and interprets that dream and puts counsel behind it. And Pharaoh lays down the law. I am Pharaoh and you are. Give him a name too. You know, and without you, there shall nothing be done in this land. He said, where can we find a man that's so discreet, in whom is the spirit of the gods like you? They put him in charge of everything. You know, I was favored. I located him even from prison and brought him in front of the king and set him up, you know, for life. And he was going to save lives too after that. And that favor of God. Favor of God works in mysterious ways. When it is charting its path for your life, you may not know and understand what it is doing. But once that favor is upon you, don't you worry about it. Everything is going to turn out great. But that's a favor of God. That's how it works. And Joseph, he became governor over all the land. And everybody bowed the knee to him too. Praise God. It was favor. Glory to God. And you know the rest of the story. Brethren finally came, bowed to him as well. There are stories also of lesser and even some greater favors than you can see. Some tremendous things that happen in other people's lives. I'll mention two or three of them quickly. There was a man, you know, called Mordecai in the days of the story of Esther who became king, right? Became queen in the land. There was favor upon Esther. There was favor upon Mordecai as well. Mordecai's favor was not immediately known, but the favor that was on Esther was immediately known. Because when her uncle commanded her to enter an audition for the position of queen, which God allowed to be opened up when Vashti disrespected her husband, the king, God favored Esther above everybody else. And she got the position. And God was setting her up for something. And even this man, Mordecai, the day that the favor of God would locate him, he didn't even know that he had that, property within himself to locate, attract God, magnetize God's favor like that. But God arranged it. You know, he set a table before him in the presence of his enemies and made his greatest enemy, nemesis, to serve him at table. the man called Haman, who was, promoted greatly, and everybody bowed the knee to him except Mordecai. Now, Mordecai was a real Jew. I bowed the knee to anybody except God. And so he wouldn't do it. Haman became furious. You know the story, on and on and on. But on the day that Haman would go request of the king permission to destroy all the Jews, God's favor had already positioned Esther there. And our uncle told her, too. And there's a reason why God put you there. But beyond that, part of the story was the night before, the angel of the Lord troubled the king so that he could not sleep. It's part of God's favor working. He walks in mysterious ways. Troubled the king so the king couldn't sleep, and then asked for something to read. And of all things, they brought him the chronicles of events in the kingdom. And they read, and the Lord also, the angel of the Lord, guided him to the place where he found what Mordecai had done, to save the king twice from would-be, assassination attempts, and nothing was done to reward him. Was there anything done for this man? He asked. The chamberlain said, no. Then why not? Well, we don't know. He said, okay. So he said, I'm going to do something about it. Who is in the king's court? Why would he ask that? That's chamberlain's right in front of you. Send one of them already. Why would you ask that whoever else is there? These people are already there. Just send any one of them. But the Lord wanted to bring all these things together. That was the favor that was upon Mordecai. That favor would cause his greatest enemy to serve him up on that table that God would set for him. That's it. God can do all these things. And God planned it that way. And who's in the king's court? Haman came in. The very moment was there. God arranged that too. And comes before the king. He says, hey, there you are. What shall the king do to a man that king wants to favor? See? That's right. So the man thinks, well, who else? I'm the only one being invited to all these banquets and stuff. So he piles it on. Well, let the king give him his chariot. Let him give him his robe. Let him give him his ring. Let him give him even, you know, everything. Really? What else? The king's life too? So he passed everything on because he thinks that it is coming to him. Now that's favor of God working. God put a delusion upon the man, you know. And so king says, well, are you finished? He said, yeah. You know, was that? No, one more thing. Give him the ring also. and let everybody proclaim throughout the land that this is the man. You must bow knee, because he still wanted, you know, Mordecai to bow the knee to him. And the king said, okay, well, now all these things that you have said, make sure you diminish nothing from it. Go and do it unto Mordecai. You know, and he, with his own mouth, had to proclaim all these blessings that he, he thought was coming. And the evil that he plotted turned against him. And that's favor. The favor of God will protect you. It's like, you know, providence. It will protect your destiny. He will do it. There's nothing anybody can do about it. And he will promote you. And that favor promoted Mordecai to the chagrin of his greatest enemies. And then you know the rest of the story. So let me leave that one there. Another powerful story of favor from God. You know, this man that was called Jacob. Jacob, well, from the womb he had favor. Favor of God was upon him. God himself said, Jacob I have favored, and Esau I have rejected. Even while they were still in the womb, their mother still carrying them in the womb, twins. The babies had done no evil or good. They are not even being born. You can read all of that in Romans chapter 9. Yet, that the, you know, purpose of God, according to election of his grace and his favor, might stand. He said, the elder will serve the younger. He put a blessing upon Jacob from the womb. talk about favor. Circumstances and things lined up and so forth. People will be doing things sometimes thinking that they are doing it, but no, God already ordained it. Yeah, his mother thought she was the one helping him to get that blessing, but God already said it before they were even born, you know, and there was a twist of fate there. And he got the blessing, had to supplant it a little bit to get it, but it was a supplanter too. Tricked his dad to get it, the mother helping to get that, but God spoke it before they were born. That's it. And he got it. Well, one thing led to another. He ran away one time from the presence of his brother. When he finally, you know, say, wow, you did this to me, I'm going to kill you. Ran away. Got shacked up with, in the house of Laban. You know, kind of like his uncle and stuff. And that's where you see the real favor of God that was on this man's life. It was amazing. The story was amazing. He wanted a wife out of the daughters of Laban. He actually wanted Rachel. You know, and the man tricked him, gave him Leah. Found out later, he said, but he had already walked, you know, 7 years for that. And the man said, well, we can't do that now. Culture to give you the younger before the elder. You got to have the elder first. I'll give away the elder first. And the man said, well, you could, why didn't you tell me that? He said, well, you know, serve me another 7 years and I'll give you Rachel also to wife. Another 7 years. I mean, that'd be 14. But to Jacob, it was nothing. Because he loved Rachel, so much, wanted it. So I'll do it. Well, along those 7 years, whatever they agreed upon, what else to, you know, that Jacob was doing for the man, to bless him, the man kept changing his wages. we'll find out later. Jacob said, you change my wages 10 times. You know, they agree on something, they will change it. They agree on something, they will change it. Then finally, you know, after that, he said, well, after I found it, 14 years, got his wife. And his wife, you know, started to have children. Jacob said to Laban, well, let me go so I can start my own family. He said, well, you know, I've seen that God has blessed me, God has favored my house since you have been here. And it was true. Laban's stuff increased tremendously in the years that Jacob was there. That was favor. The favor of God upon your life will influence even others. When you get somewhere and you know, not only, you know, you bless yourself, but you bring blessing everywhere you go. Kingdom blessings everywhere. And the man wouldn't let him go. He said, well, I tell you what, serve me another 6 years. Another 6 years, that's going to make 20 years. And I will do this, I will do that. So Jacob said, well, you know, over these years I have served you, you guys have been accusing me that I stole some stuff. I stole nothing. But the man said, well, tell me what your wages will be. He said, well, my wages, every time we agreed, you changed everything. And said, well, you know, tell me, I need you to be here. God will favor me because there's favor upon you. He said, okay. So see all these cattle, you know, all these sheep. Say, yeah. Well, see all these spotted and grizzled and so forth, which nobody wants the spotted and grizzled. They wanted the solid color and so forth. So, yeah, you know, okay. Those will be my wages. Pick out among the flock the despised ones that you don't like. And those will be my wages. Spotted the grizzled and the ones nobody like. Laban was happy because he said, that's good. Because those were the ones that were malnutritioned. They didn't care. They were not the fatted calf like that. Because nobody wanted those, you know, spotted and grizzled colors. They wanted the nice plain colors. So he said, okay, that's good. And now the favor of God will kick in. Hallelujah. A transfer of wealth, you know, will kick in. The favor of God will bring it in. The angel of the Lord showed Jacob in a vision what to do. There's no story like this in the Bible. Nowhere. You couldn't do it. This man changed the course of nature. The Lord showed him. He said, see all those fatted calf and see how this man has said he will give you the lean calf. I said, yeah. I said, well, we're going to change all that. You know, every time you see those well-nutritioned, nice-colored, single-colored calf that had nice bones and good DNA in them, when you see that they are about to mate in the mating season, you go do this and make them bring forth the grizzled, speckled colors that nobody wants. And Jacob say, really? Say, yeah, do it. So Lord showed him what to do. Took a couple of sticks, peeled them this way and that way. How do you put sticks in front of a cattle that are mating and cause them to bring out the colors that you want? Jacob did it. Favor of God upon him. Change the course of nature. And every time he found the strong cattle that was trying to mate, he put this thing in front of them. They brought forth the grizzled, the spotted colors, which they had agreed would be his wages. And when he saw the lean cattle, he just didn't do anything. And they, you know, so that way, one by one, by one, by one, all the cattle, the strong ones became Jacob's. And Laban couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't say he stole it because this was the agreement. And this was how God's going to repay him for all those 20 years. And Laban tried to take from him. The favor of God would not allow it. When you are a favor magnet like that, it doesn't matter what people try to do to you. You come out on top. Joseph came out on top. Jacob came out on top. You know, Mordecai came out on top. They're always coming out on top. Praise God. Daniel was a favored man. The kings loved him. His enemies tried to kill him, throw him in the lion's den, found something that they know this man will not go against the law of his God. So let's trick him up. Entrapment, they called it. And king's favor located him still. Daniel slept soundly among the lions. The king himself could not sleep. Called forth in the morning, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has thy God, whom thou servest continually, been able to save you from the power of the lions? And I said, O king, live forever. I'm down here. It's all cool. You know, the lion and I, all the lions and myself, we were just had a good night. God sent his angel, shut them out. They didn't do me any harm, as much as there was no evil found in heart, my heart. Huh? The king started doing cartwheels. He was so happy. Bring him out of there! And he promoted him. Daniel was already on his way up, but the king promoted him above everybody else and put out a decree and said, you know, in all places of my dominion, anyone that speak a word against the God of Daniel, let them cut his house to pieces, make them a dunghill, cut them up. Favor of God located Daniel everywhere. Even as a slave, he was above, you know. And then even in the lion's den, he was still above. God located him with favor. Now, these are favor. People who are favored, doesn't matter what happened. They throw into lion's den, you favor you, come out of there, they promote you on top of it. You know, they try to destroy you, God will change their mind, their mouth. They use the mouth to promote you. Mordecai versus Haman. On and on and on. It doesn't matter. The favor of God locating people. And lastly, let me talk about the king's favor. How the king put his favor upon somebody, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. It's all part of this favor. And in a few minutes, I'm going to pray this favor and this kingdom expression will be with you. Now, quickly, the king that gave decrees in the scriptures of whatever they wanted done, that was it. And a couple of stories, many of them I want to highlight of the ones, and you've heard these stories before, that received tremendous favor, you know, from the king. And once the king said it, that's why we spoke about kingdom and the king at the beginning. You know, once the king said it, that's it. You know, the same story of Joseph that we read, let's see how the king's favor played into it. It was favor from God, but it was also favor from the king. Genesis chapter 41, verses 39 to 44. Now, let's see the exchange and the words of the king. Pharaoh, of course, was king, right? So let's see the words of the king and what he said. Genesis 41, the story, condensed part of the story, is in verse 39, from verse 39. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed you all these, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be. Now, this is the king's favor now. This is the word of the king. Doesn't matter whether you are the prince. The prince would probably be next in line. It doesn't matter. King is going to put down the decree. Now, there's no voting. He's just going to say it. You know, thou shalt be over my house. And according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. That's right. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. You know, in other words, I will be a figurehead only. But you are the one in charge. Your word goes, whatever you say. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set thee today over all the land of Egypt. And he took off his ring from his hand. Yeah. As a symbol of authority and power, and puts it on Joseph's. This was somebody who was just a couple of hours ago in prison, and arrayed him with vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain around his neck, and made him to ride in the second chariot. And they made everybody to cry. Bow the knee to Joseph. And he made him ruler over all the land. And he said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh. It's like, you know how the Lord says, I am the Lord. And he puts his signature on something he says. Well, Pharaoh said, I am Pharaoh. And without thee shall no man lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. He gave him a name too, you know. And he gave him also his daughter to wife. I mean, all these things, just favor of that king come upon Joseph like that. Well, that's one, you know, favor that came. Esther, I told you about it, but also king's favor. Esther chapter 5, verses 2 to 3, you know, when she would stand before the king, she told her uncle, well, if I go like that, and the king doesn't put out this golden scepter, I'm dead meat. You can't go before the king unless he calls you. Uncle says, well, you go, and you will go before him too. But this is the reason God put you there. And if you don't do it, God will raise somebody else up, and you'll be ashamed. And don't think that you'll be safe just because you're in the palace. No. You know, this law that this man put out will get you too. So she said, well, okay, make prayer for me, and I will go. If I perish, I perish. And she went, and she obtained favor. You know, and it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter. That's it. Once they put out that golden scepter, you put your hand on it, that's it. You can ask the king anything you want. Call the king's favor. The king said, anything you want, even to half of the kingdom, I give it to you in this moment. Wow. That's a king favor. You can't do anything about it at that point. Let's talk about some more of the king's favor. Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 7 to 9. Of course, you know, Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer at the time. And one day, you know, all the news that he had been hearing about Jerusalem being destroyed, the temple being laid waste, and all these things were bothering him. He was thinking, what am I going to do to say to the king and so forth? I can't go with sad face before the king. That's sentence of death. Cupbearer cannot come with gloomy face. So one day he said to the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that I may go, they may convey me till I come to Judah. Huh. And the king gave him favor. You know, favor. Said, I want the letter of Asaph, the king's forest. May give me timber. May give me all of these things and so forth. You know, and he said, and the king granted, I mean, he asked for a bunch of things. He didn't even have the right to ask for those things. You know, he was just a slave man. But God positioned him there. He would have an opportunity one day to speak to the king. And the king's, you know, said, the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. That's the good hand of God. That was God's favor. Influenced the king to give Nehemiah favor. You know, and they gave him favor. The king gave them letters and said, well, you know, whatever this man wants, you give it to him. Praise the Lord. Now, more in those stories, but I'm not going there today. I want to finish this lesson. So he got tremendous favor. Ezra, the same thing. In Ezra chapter 6, verses 1 to 12, you can read about, you know, how he obtained favor also in his time. Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. It was found at Achmetah in the palace that is in the province of the Medes, a roll. Therein was a record written. Said, in the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded. The place Let the offer sacrifice and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid. The height thereof be such and such. The breadth be such and such. Great stones and so forth. And let expenses be given out of the king's house. And let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had carried away, let them be returned and restored and so on and so forth. And he gave commandment. He said, well, you know, the king before me wrote this, and he gave commandment. He said, let it be so. Say, moreover, I make a decree, you know, that you will do all these things. And to these elders of the Jews for the building of the house of God, you take of the goods of the king and the tributes that they brought to the king, you give them to these women, I mean to these men. Forthwith expenses be given unto these men. Let them not be hindered. Anything they need, young bullocks, rams, lambs, burnt offerings, you know, give it to them for the God of heaven. Wheat, wine, salt, oil, according to the appointment of the priests, give it to them. Let it be given to them day by day without fail. Woo-hoo. That they may offer sacrifices. Now, you know, I have also made a decree, he said, that what whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house and being set up, let him be hanged thereon. Let his way house be made a dunghill. you know, and he says, and the God that hath caused his name to dwell there, destroy all kings and all people that shall put their hand to alter or to destroy this house of God. I, Darius, have made a decree. Let it be done with speed. That's Ezra chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. And the king's decree put upon them such a powerful blessing. It said, no man to touch it, no man can alter it. Well, that's the king. And the king speaks, there's nothing you can do. You know, I've told you the story before of the Shunammite woman. The woman that was always helping Elisha, the prophet, built him a small room too and all that. And one day Elisha told her that there's coming famine. So take your little boy. This was the one that Elisha also prophesied, also raised back to death. Take your little boy and go dwell in the land of the Philistines or wherever and stay there because this famine is going to be grievous. And so she went, did according to the word of the prophet, and was away for 7 years. She gave up everything. Remember one time she told the prophet, well, I dwell in the midst of my people, and in my own land, I have what I need. I don't need anything. The prophet said, yeah, but you need a son, you know. So she had land, she had all these things, and she left. She left everything behind and went, according to the word of the prophet. So she kept, you know, waiting, watching to hear if things got better. It took 7 years or so. Finally, things got better. Meanwhile, you know, her abandoned property and everything had been taken over by the state. And the favor of God was going to be upon this woman in her case for all the things that she had done. You know, all the time she paid forward the kindness to the man of God is coming to her in favor. Favor rules are coming to her now. So God arranged this famine. It looked like it was an evil that came to her, but no, God was fixing to do something for her. The resources of the king were now used to develop the land because the king took it over when she left, abandoned it. They developed it. Gave tremendous. She would not have had the resources to do it during those times of want and penury and famine in the land. But when she abandoned the land, the king took it over. Developed it with his resources. Thing flourished. Generated multiple things. They created vineyards and various things on it. And the day she came back to cry to the king for her land, the favor of God orchestrated it in such a way. I mean, this woman was coming from hundreds of miles, maybe thousands of miles away. The moment in which she would arrive by divine appointment was the moment in which just before the king would be asking a question. Saying, yeah, I've heard of the exploits of Elisha. Hey, tell me, you know, what else did this man do? He said, well, so servant of Elisha, then step forward, said, I'll tell you. It's a lot of things. In fact, one day the man raised a a little boy from the dead said, no, you got to be kidding. Said, no. Said, get out of town. Said, no, he did too. You know, and in that same moment, you know, timed in destiny by the favor of God, this woman in that same moment, traveling thousands of miles, left many days ago, arrived in that same moment when this man was telling about her son that was raised from the dead. This is how God's favor works, by divine timings. And that story would not have made the impact on the king if that story had been told 2 weeks before or 2 weeks later. But because at the same moment that that story was being told was when this woman appeared. And the man I was telling, sorry, look, this is what I was just telling you. This is the woman. And my goodness, look at her son. This is that her son that was raised from the dead. Now, the king is completely mesmerized. You know, got God's favor walking, you know, and says to the king or to the woman, are you such and such? And did such and such happen? Yeah, bring this boy. Let me see. And Zamin said, what? He said, well, you know, and what can I do for you? Now he's ready to do anything for this woman because of the way God arranged this thing. The woman said, well, you know, 7 years ago, blah, 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 I left and so forth. You know, by now, I'm sure my land has been confiscated and so on. I want it back. King said, and she began, she started to tell, said, enough. Because an officer, you know, gives a decree. This is how the king works. Whether the law of the land says that land has now become the states and this and this, and it'll take you writing letters and appeal and all these things before. No. The king will change all of that in one moment. Gives a decree. Let it see to it that everything that this woman owns and all the proceeds. That's right. Go check it out. Get the records. Everything that that land has produced, which they have developed, all the proceeds of that land, you know, measure it to her and give it to her and do it without fail. Right away. That's the king's favor. Praise the Lord. And this woman came back from penury into a great abundance. Great abundance. From something that she had lost, recovered all, and even more so, much more, because of the king's favor. The word that the king spoke unto her. And last but not the least, you've heard this story multiple times as well. The story of David and Mephibosheth. King's favor is the part that I want to bring out, though. 2 Samuel chapter 9. The king, David, now finally says, who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him favor? That's right. Because of what Jonathan did. And the story of Lodabar came out of that story. Mephibosheth was nothing happening for him in Lodabar. Brought out of there. The favor of the king sought him out. And brought him out of that place. He stood before the king, trembling, thinking that his life was in danger. He knew world is all that Saul did to David. So he thought for sure, you know, David was going to have him killed. And David said, no, I will show you the kindness of God, the favor of God today. And the king makes a decree. Ziba says, say, yes, Lord, my Lord. So, well, see to it from the day you are reporting to this man. Ziba used to be the chief of all the servants of Saul. So today, from today on, you are reporting to this man. Whatever he says goes. You do it. All you and all your servants. You're reporting to this man. And besides that, set a seat for him on my table. Woo-hoo. He will be on my table. He will eat at my table for the rest of his life. Because the king said so. And that's it. You know, the rest of the... Nobody could say anything about it because the king said so. That's the king's favor. Now, here's the point where I'm going to decree some things. I've told you these stories, with many of which you've heard before. But it was necessary for me to tell you these stories because it is the word of God that God backs up. That's right. God only backs up his word, not somebody's word. So now that I've told God's word, and you've heard it, God is going to back up my decrees here. I am going to decree favor of God that's already with you, but latent that you have not discovered is going to come to the surface. That's right. It's going to work for you. Now, some of them had favor right from the womb. Some, the favor was imputed on them. Some, it developed later. Whatever. There are many stories. You know, Jacob had it from the womb. Others, it was put upon them. Like this Mephibosheth was put upon him after he had suffered many, many years of his life. Now, favor finally came upon him. You know, whether, you know, in favor, no matter where you are, the favor can still come on you. You might have got the favor. Some people are favored right from the beginning. Well, some are not. Some have it imputed unto them later on. But one way or another, today, favor will begin to speak for you. Because I am going to declare it right now. Now, I want you to engage with me in this prayer. Everybody. Engage with me for just a few minutes. You know, stop whatever distraction that you may have around you. And pay attention for the next couple of minutes. Engage with me as I declare this favor over your life. And, well, how do I know that God is going to preserve these words? Well, because I am the Lord, he said, that confirmeth the word of my messengers, my servants, and perform their counsel. That's right. You know, and I make even diviners to be mad. You know, all the would-be destroyers in your life, God's going to make them mad, turn them backward. Turn even wise men backward. I turn even all the opposition wise men backward, and I will make all things line up for your good. Huh? Because the favor of God is going to locate you. Some of you already have favor working for you in your life. You know, one day, maybe next time, I will talk about favor management. You know, yesterday we were talking about, 2 days in a row, we were talking about how favor must come to the children because of you. Because of your righteousness, your integrity will pass favor onto your children automatically. Well, there's also favor management. I'll talk about that next time. But today, I'm going to pray that favor, declare it into your life. So here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have spoken your word. That's right. We have declared these things, Lord, out of your word. Jesus said, I have given them thy word. Hallelujah. Lord, I have given your people your word today, and this favor can locate them. Those who are in Lodabar, like Mephibosheth, the favor of God will locate you. Those of you who have been pummeled, buffeted, you know, cheated out of things like Jacob, the favor, the wisdom, and the inspiration of God is going to come to you. Cause there to be a transfer of fortunes, a reversal of fortunes. God's going to do it for you. Why? Because his name is at stake. Now, those of you who have been in situations where you thought you lost everything, like this Shunammite woman who lost everything, well, God's going to bring favor your way. I declare this favor of God. Some of you are looking for things. I mean, there are some people in this country, you know, that are going, you know, trying to apply for immigration or this. And you know, the government say, no, no more visas from that country. No more this, no more this. The favor of God will come into your situation. And when God says so, I don't care what the government of the land says. There is a higher kingdom. Glory to God. And if you're a citizen of that kingdom, even though you dwell on earth, God will change things in your favor. And some of you have been in dungeons, like Joseph. And in one day, God will change that story. Glory to God. Now, some of you are, you know, auditioning for something. Maybe you're applying for a job. Maybe you are vying for a position and so forth. Like Esther, you will have favor. Favor. You will be the chosen one. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, O Lord, by decree of the holy watchers and demand of the holy ones. That's right. I decree upon your children the favor of God, that they will become favor magnets. Huh? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Favor everywhere. Everywhere you go. The king's expression, the kingdom expression in your life. The favor of God shine upon you to show forth the reputation of the king. You are the citizen of this kingdom. God's citizens are also kings themselves. They're not paupers, for he has made us kings and priests. And in the kingdom of God, we ourselves who are citizens, we are also kings. And now the king's favor turning things around for you in the name of Jesus. And I declare it. I say, so it is spoken and so it will be. That from this moment, you will begin to experience and you will attract tremendous favor from God and from man. In the name of Jesus, you become a favor magnet. Glory to God. Even situations where naturally and you know, things cannot be so. Even the law of the land is opposite. You know, even different things happening, the favor of God will turn things around. It will break those chains, cut asunder the bars, open the gates of brass, and bring you or your loved one or your son out of Lodabar or your children and put you in upon the king's table. So it is spoken, and so let it be. The favor of God and the signature of God, signing it into law for you. Because the king's word is the law. Now, Lord, I have spoken your word in your name over your children. Now, watch over it, Lord. Bring glory to your name. Glorify your name, Lord, again in the lives of your children. You know, and those things that have battered them down, the four horns, the oppressions, the various wickedness in high places, the bands of wickedness, the afflictions, the evil yokes. The Lord said, I raise up the carpenters to free them. And the king's favor will push those things back and out of the way and favor you. And you come out on top in the name of Jesus. So it is spoken and so let it be. God's glory, and take the glory, Lord, for thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth and anywhere else is yours. And you have spoken the word today in our ears, and let it enter into our hearts to believe to the glory of God. Favor for your people. That they turn into favor magnets and receive and continue to be an expression of the king's favor wherever they go and in whatever situation they are. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.